Good morning. Hello. Today is May the 24th, 7:02 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry, sponsored by the Women's Ministry Department of Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am Josie Santa Ana, your moderator this morning, and I'm moderating from Glendale. In Mark 11:24, it reads, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them, have them." And from the Steps to Christ, page 70, "Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, 'Take me, O Lord, as holy thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let my work be wrought in thee.' This is a daily matter. Surrender your plans to him. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ." That is from Steps to Christ, page 70. Our speaker this morning is Sister Patricia Sheffield, and the reference number for this presentation is 858. I will read a short bio of Sister Pat, and I will request one of our prayer line callers to prepare for opening prayer after I read her bio. Oh my. Okay.
Sister Josie, you don't have to read it. Everybody knows me. Please.
Oh, okay. So I will just go ahead and we'll ask for an opening prayer. I lost it. I already had it before.
It wasn't meant to be read. Amen. Go ahead.
Okay. Sister Ione, please give us our opening prayer. Pray for our speaker, our friends list, our prodigals, and all our unspoken prayer requests. Thank you.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you, sister.
Okay, I'm ready. Who can bow the head while I kneel? I'm ready. Kind and eternal Father, Lord, we come once more to thank you for all the blessing, all the mercy that you bestowed upon us from the past until now. Lord, we are undone, we are unworthy, but because of your love towards us, you send your Son to stand in our place, to be our substitute, to live that perfect life on our behalf, and you give it to us as a gift. Lord, we know that if we accept it, we can be saved. If we reject it, we can be lost. So, Lord, we beg of you, dear Father, that as we come before your presence undone and worthy, that you would have mercy upon us, dear Lord. You have seen us from time to time come to this prayer line to listen to the dropping of your word by your servant that you'll use from time to time to bring us the message. Lord, we beg of you that each one that came on this prayer line, that you would continue to bless them, continue to uphold them. And Lord, we beg of you, dear Lord, that would help each one on this prayer line to see the newness of your coming, to see the signs and to see your judgment upon the land that you put upon the land, or you permit upon the land to point men to Calvary so that we can see and accept and turn from sin and to get ready for your coming. And Lord, you have seen the heartache and the griefs of your people that came from time to time asking you for mercy to help them in their sickness, in their need. You have seen those that are saying, "Time is enough, time is enough." You have seen the family that are praying for their wayward children and their wayward family. Lord, you have seen those that are sick, those need shelter, those need healing. Lord, you have seen it all. And we, not we may not know each one individual person, but you have seen them, and you know who they are by name and by nature. And Lord, because you are a God that see all things, we beg of you that you look down upon each one of the requests and the prayer line, those that are spoken and those that are unspoken, so that we can able to have a closer walk with you. Lord, we beg of you that you would give us the peace that passes understanding. Lord, teach us and guide us, uphold us and protect us and humble us at the foot of the cross. And heal those that stand in need of healing. And Lord, your servant, that you choose to bring the word of God to us this morning. Lord, we beg of you, dear Lord, that you imbue her with thy Holy Spirit. Help her, dear Lord, that as she speak your word, it may be from your throne, that men and women may lead to Calvary. Lord, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your mercy. And as we are on your preparation day, Lord, wherever we are in the world and in our state, Lord, we beg of you, dear Lord, that would help us to finish our activity and times to keep the edge of your Sabbath so we can get this Sabbath day blessing. Lord, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. And Father, what we fail of accepting, we will not fail of granting to us while we humble ourselves in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for the beautiful prayer, Sister Ayoni. Okay, Sister Pat, the time is yours.
Thank you, Sister Josie, and happy Preparation Day, Caroline family. I am happy in the Lord. He has brought us here to the sixth day, and it's truly been a blessing. And I'll just say prayer, because without prayer, we have no power, and I'm just thanking God for the opportunity to call upon him once again. We're praying, Father in heaven, great and marvelous are your works. Thank you for being God. There's none like unto you. And Lord, as I speak, may they be works from on high. And those that are listening, Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak to each heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Come into our hearts today. Come in to stay always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, I am so happy in the Lord, and I want to say that we're continuing our parenting class series. I apologize. I was not available 2 weeks ago because God allowed me once again to be a co-laborer with him in a birth up in New York. I just got back this week, and the Lord worked mightily. I'll tell you, God is opening up the opportunities in this maternal gospel, because we got to teach this maternal gospel to all the world, to all women, all families, because many do not know. Just briefly, I had gotten a call earlier this year from a young lady. I did not know her, and really it was a result of a meeting with one of the prayer line speaker's wife. When the girl told me, she says, well, your name was given to me by sister, and I won't mention her name. And I said, oh, because I only met the young lady, the pastor's wife at one of the camp meetings we had at CFC, and we spoke briefly. But however, she referred the young lady to me, and the young lady and her husband, they were not SDAs, they were Pentecostal. But God has his people everywhere, and the young lady and husband were wanting to have a home birth God's way. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord opened up the opportunity for myself and my assistant to go and minister to this family. And, my heart is just overjoyed. So I missed last Friday, 2 weeks ago, because the baby was born that week. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. This morning, I present to you parenting, the prenatal period, and I want to put something before you. Proverbs 22:6, that has been the text in which we are using in dealing with parenting. And I present to you, we need to re-examine our position on Proverbs 22:6. Why?
because the greatest attack on mankind today is a child in the womb. In all ages, now, even now, you see the government, along with even some church people, that go along with destroying unborn and newborn babies. And who knows the potential of that child, what that child will grow up to be to survive the womb and to grow up and to love God. Even the child that Satan is trying to destroy, he may be the one to put the spike in Satan's heart. The potential of a child is matchless. That's why in the beginning God gave the command, be fruitful and multiply, and even after the flood, he gave that same command to be fruitful and multiply. And that's why I'm sharing with you all today, we need to reexamine our position on Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. What is that it? It is that training. Why? Because Satan hates every baby. He will use everything to destroy that baby, starting from in the mother's womb. And if he can't get him in the mother's womb, then he will try to get him during labor and childbirth. And if he doesn't get him during childbirth, he's going to try to get him in education. I always share with the parents that I go minister to, Satan claims every human being ever born of a woman. He claimed to you, brothers and sisters. He has tried to claim me, but God said, not so. And so I am so thankful to God for his loving kindness that he has put a hedge around us, his people. And as long as we are in that hedge, the enemy cannot touch us. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. And in the past, we have mentioned what is the purpose, what is the divine purpose for each individual. And it is the harmonious development to the highest possible levels of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual powers, and their total dedication to implicit, absolute, trusting, unquestioning, and immediate obedience to the Lord. The bottom line, God expects his children to obey. Hence, this means that parents are to be co-workers with the heavenly agencies, and they must keep two objectives in mind: the development in their children of the highest possible capacities, and the training in them of the disposition and the habit of implicit obedience. It is so interesting how babies come out and they know when they are being selfish. When a baby cries after it's been fed or changed, and then as it's crying, the mother picks the baby up and then the baby stops, that is, they are already exerting selfishness. It is so interesting. This mother, young mother, and it was interesting, the husband, he was a minister of the Pentecostal church. And many things, I got an opportunity, and my assistant got an opportunity to share with them. And I praise God for the sowing of the seeds. And the young lady had had her first birth 2.5 years ago in the hospital, and she had said that that was the worst experience she ever had, and in her heart she had always wanted to do it God's way, but she didn't know anyone. And when we have a desire to seek God's way, know that God is there waiting to show us that way. And so the Lord, I tell you, her birth was so beautiful. The night before, she got in the bed with myself and my assistant. Usually we're up all night laboring with the woman, but while she was laboring, she got in the bed, and she labored all night, and I got a little sleep. My assistant said she didn't sleep, but what's so interesting, I didn't hear the mother. She didn't scream or anything. And then early that morning, she woke me up and she said, Sister Pat, of I'm feeling more pressure. And I hope I'm not too graphic, but I just love birth. She went into the bathroom, and I said, she says, I have to use the bathroom. I said, you sure is not the baby about to come? And when she was using the bathroom, I said, I need you to get up. And what did I see? I saw the head right at the opening, and within a few minutes, that baby came out. And we were all rejoicing. Praise God for his way. Praise God that he was with her. And she said she was in pain, but she said that she was just praying to the Lord. Praise God for from whom all blessings flow. Now, as we were talking about the prenatal period, God is asking for unquestioning and immediate obedience from us. And this means that, again, the parents must co-work with the heavenly agencies. You know, Satan is well pleased when men and women who have developed tremendous abilities spend their lives building up his cause, and he is especially gratified when they think, talking about the parents, as such invariably do, that they are serving the Lord when, in fact, they are Satan's agents of destruction. If he, Satan, could rely on children who have been born again from their very conception, becoming members of his army when they come to the age of decision, Satan would encourage their being born. He would, you know, he would discourage them from following the Lord. You know, but parents should not sit back and complacently rest in the assurance that it is virtually impossible for their children to be born as a holy seed. Satan does not abandon all hope in enticing the parents and the children to forsake God and join with him. You know, in Matthew 8, 4, verses 8 and 9, we see Satan appealing to Christ on the mountain of temptation. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan said unto Christ, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Again, I read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, when the scribes in the school which Christ visited on the occasion of his first Passover visit saw the incredible mental and spiritual power manifested in Christ, the boy, they longed to bring him under their supervision so that they could train him for their service, which meant, even though they could not see it, preparation for enlistment in Satan's army. Unfortunately, we have some schools today, a part of our church, that are part of Satan's army. Sad to say. You know, in Desire of Ages, page 80, it says, the rabbis knew that Jesus had not been instructed in their schools, yet his understanding of the prophecies far exceeded theirs. In this thoughtful Galilean boy, they discerned great promise. They desired to gain him as a student that he might become a teacher in Israel. They wanted to have charge of his education, feeling that a mind so original must be brought under their molding. Who was God, Christ's teacher? It was God. And the rabbis wanted to change his mind. I've just read from the Desired Ages, page 80. You know, it's very interesting. I got a text this week from a dear friend in California, and I delivered their baby, and their child now is 5 years old, and they were telling me it is very hard for a child to get into school, be it Adventist school, private school, public school, without vaccination. And so they were saying, what do I do? I said, well, first of all, counsel, the pen of inspiration says our children should not be in a classroom until they're 8 to 10 years old. So first of all, here's your answer. Your child has no business in the school at 5 years old. And then I said to them, so you're going to undo everything that God has done for you. You had a home birth safely. God has kept your child from any sicknesses and everything. And now you're going to turn around and give your child to the enemy? Well, my heart ached because the person said, well, I want to move to the country and I want to do this. But again, I said, there is no problem so hard that God cannot solve. Find your situation in the Bible, and the solution is right there. You know, fortunately, as going back to what we were reading about the rabbis wanted to educate Jesus, who was being educated by God, neither the boy Jesus nor his earthly parents accepted any offers that the scribes might have made him. Instead, Christ returned home with Joseph and Mary to continue his education under his heavenly Father's direction through his earthly parents as far as they were capable. Many mothers tell me, I am not qualified to teach my child. Well, my then answer to them, if you're not qualified, then you had your children for strangers to teach. You know, parents who realize the possibilities bound up in their children will certainly wish to avoid a one-sided result. The last thing they will want is to develop powerful abilities in their children and then see them use these in Satan's service. Why then are we going to homeschool our children and then after we homeschool them, we send them to the worldly schools? Now, I know some say, well, the Waldenses, they did it. Their children went to the worldly university. And my question to them is, what was the purpose? Was their purpose to go get a degree of the world or to share Jesus? If that is the case, if our children are just going solely not to get in debt, not to get a career so they can work in the world, but to spread this gospel, I say send them to the university. But I'll share this with you, that if they go, they should not incur any debt. God will provide all of their tuition money because God hates debt like leprosy. You know, consequently, parents will ensure that they teach by precept and example the principles of implicit, again, unquestioning, uncomplaining, and immediate obedience. And that's not what the schools teach. Do you know schools teach our children not to obey their parents, that the teacher's word is law even above parents? You know, to provide every opportunity for the best possible results to be achieved even as they were in Christ's life, God has given two valuable facilities. The first is the implantation within the child of Christ's own life by the germination of his seed, subsequent to the eradication of the old evil seed of Satan. And the second is very effective training. God has provided a system for all families, all mothers, to be the best teacher for their children. The implantation of the divine life, as already stated, delivers the child from the destructive work of indwelling sin and blesses that child with the regenerative power of Christ's own life. How many of us are raising our children to be like Christ, are teaching them a trade? You know, again, as I interact with these young people who are getting married and having children, we don't understand the purpose for having children. And again, if I've stated it once, I'll state it again. The purpose of having children is to reproduce the image of Christ and to repopulate heaven with those human beings to take the place of the fallen angels. You know, once the child has been conceived, the parents must concentrate initially on one all-important objective, the gift of the new birth to the child. The new birth is the Holy Spirit, that child will be born with the Holy Spirit as John the Baptist, as Christ, as Jeremiah, as Samuel. The parents must not rest satisfied until they are certain the child has been born again. For if this is not accomplished, whatever else is attempted will be wasted effort. You know, I know the world, the New Age say, oh, if my child in my womb listens to classical music, data has shown that this child will be brilliant. Well, I present something even better than classical music, because classical music is of the devil. If you look at the origin, Ignatius Loyola is the one who started classical music, and it wasn't to glorify God. Go study it. I encourage you to go study it, because many of our people are into classical music, and they're thinking it's a good thing. But in the Bible, I read we're to sing hymns and songs, and I've never seen classical. Even just to put classical in there, know that it's Greek. Continuing, the moment, though, that parents are satisfied that the new birth has been accomplished, the parents must concentrate all their time, energy, strength, knowledge, skills, and wisdom on the training program which will fit the newborn Christian child for the work the Lord has designed for him. And parents cannot rest or be satisfied for a single moment that child with a divine nature will grow in the right direction as a matter of course, for it will not be so. I tell you, the past 2 weeks when I was in New York City, if you heard me say it the other night, I'll say it again. The city is not a place to bring up children. I myself, in my older age, I'm saying, Lord, deliver me. Whatever you want to see, you will see it. The little mind must be trained to distinguish good from evil so that he learns to choose the one and reject the other. It is so interesting. One of my spiritual children allowed their children to put on costumes of superheroes. And I said to them, superheroes? I said, Spider-Man? Batman? And these are supposed to be present truth parents. And I'm saying, and they say, oh, Mom, they know they're not real. But I'm saying, why are we actors? It's not what we say, it's what we do. And then they sent me a picture of one of the children jumping off a rock. And I'm saying, if that's not depicting superhero, then who is it? Because Satan brought Jesus up on the rock and said, cast yourself down, and Jesus didn't jump. Jesus was not presumptuous. We don't know. And then they said to me, but Mother, they don't watch TV. You know what the new TV is? Give them a cell phone. They don't have to watch TV. The cell phone is the TV. You can see and watch anything you want to watch. God is looking for excellent training as a preparation for life work. And it is emphasized in these words regarding Samson. I'm reading from the Ministry of Healing, page 379. Not only the habits of the mother, but the training of the child were included in the angel's instruction to the Hebrew parents. It was not enough that Samson, the child who was to deliver Israel, should have a good legacy at his birth. This was to be followed by careful training. From infancy, he was to be trained to habits of strict temperance. strict-tempered. Somebody sent me a text this morning, and basing it on, I think, the ladder, Peter's ladder, where it says, we can't be patient if we're intemperate, because temperance comes before patience. And normally, many of our intemperate habits comes from what we eat, appetite. Reading from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 561 and 562, and it was not enough that the promised child should receive a good legacy from the parents. This must be followed by careful training and the formation of right habits. So whatever the mother does, the child is affected in the womb. Whatever the mother does in the house, I notice children, they follow what the parents do. If they see the mother pick up the broom, I see little children pick up the broom, because they are like a sponge. As soon as the little one is born, again, the training can and must commence. There is no safe room for the slightest delay, because if you delay parents to start training your child from the womb, know that the enemy is waiting to enter and train them for you. Parents must not make the mistake, which seems to be made almost universally in this world, of supposing that the period between conception and the actual birth and a little beyond is devoted only to physical growth. No. And that's why I always share with women, but I praise God for counsel, that when parents come together during pregnancy with marital relations, the child's mind is already operating, and that child does not know what is going on, but it is feeling the effect of the marital relations. And that's why counsel says many children come out doing self-abuse, because what was happening during pregnancy. I'm reading Ministry of Healing, page 372. The effect of prenatal influences is by many parents looked upon as a matter of little moment, but heaven does not so regard it. The message sent by an angel of God and twice given in the most solemn manner to the prospective parents of Samson shows it to be deserving of our most careful thought. I know earlier this morning I got a text from, I've developed a group called the Maternal Gospel, because there are young people out here and older people out here who want to know the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, and it has truly been a blessing. We are sharing the gospel from maternity to eternity, because everything starts with parenting. Without any question, the prenatal period is the most important, the most formative, the most easily managed period in the person's entire life. It is during this period of time that all the foundations are laid, the basic habit patterns formed, and the direction the life shall take is determined. If the mother is feeding the child on demand, know that that child is going to have an appetite problem. It is so interesting. The young woman I just ministered to in New York, her other child, she fed by demand because she said that's what the doctors told her to do. But while I was there, and she keeps in touch with me every day, she said, Sister Pat, I got to sleep all night. And her child is only 1 week old. A week. And she said, I'm feeding him on schedule. She's feeding him. She said he wakes up every 3.5 hours. So as we train our bodies to eat on a regular schedule, we can train young babies to eat on regular intervals. You know, while when parents realize the full potential for setting the children on the right course that is afforded them during these vital months between the commencement of a new life and the physical birth, they will determine to make the very most of their opportunity. I got a message this morning from a young lady saying, oh, I'm soon to deliver, and my blood pressure is high. And, you know, she said, what can I do? Well, before we give remedies, we need to ascertain the cause. So I start asking questions. Are you eating flesh meat? Are you eating a lot of salt? Are you drinking enough water? Are you exercising? What time do you go to bed? These are basically the 8 laws of health. And if we break one, we're guilty of breaking them all. And I said, are you on any meds? So as she answered, she said, oh, eating a little salt. Oh, eating flesh meat. And I said, oh, is it fried? Well, she wondered why she has high blood pressure. So I said, are you eating any vegetables? No. Are you eating any fruit? No. And then I said, have you taken any meds? Because I said, have you had high blood pressure before? She says, no. She said, oh, the doctor put me on antibiotics. And I'm saying, why, are you pregnant? The problem is the drugs and the diet. And she said, well, do you have a remedy? I said, well, if you're continuing doing the things that's causing it, I can give you a remedy of drinking garlic water or cayenne water or eggplant and garlic formula. But if you're still doing the other things, then it will not work. You know, we are now able to see that there was a work to be done at a specific time that could never be done as satisfactorily or effectively at any other time but then, meaning when the angel came to Manoah and his wife, it was before she got pregnant, but it was told to her what she should do when she was carrying the child. We deplore the fact now that we can see things as they really are, that another damaging work was done instead with the result that our offspring were turned away from God instead of being bonded to him. I always wonder, why did Samson desire the heathen women? His parents were given the counsel of how to raise him. Because if we have an intemperate man or a woman, that means it's either from passion or appetite. You know, with horror and remorse, we now realize that what we thought was a training of our precious children for eternal life is in fact a virtual confirmation to eternal destruction. We now face heartbreaking prospects, if indeed we do succeed in reaching heaven ourselves, of standing on the walls of the New Jerusalem to watch our children perishing in the flames outside, knowing as we will that it was our ignorance and mismanagement that produced this indescribable, terrible overworking. You know, what then are parents to do during the prenatal period to ensure that when the final assembly of the saints surrounds the throne of God, they will be unbroken families? And parents will be able to say in Isaiah 8:18, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are the signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. You know, the first step for parents is to realize that every experience through which the mother passes, every emotion she feels, every habit she practices is felt and responded to by the unborn infant, just as the mother herself reacts to these things. Thus, the unborn infant is storing information conveyed to it through the medium of its mother and is forming habit patterns coincidental with those of its maternal parent. How absolutely vital it is then that the mother, with the father's intelligent and loving support, establishes such habit patterns, pursues such interests, and responds to life's trials and pleasures in such a way as will convey to the child the best possible character building, Don't we want this, brothers and sisters? For those who have passed childbearing stage or child getting pregnant, even though you may not be having any children, you can share this maternal gospel with your family, your friends, your neighbors. You know, one thing we always tend to look to, well, my mother did it, my father did it, my grandfather did it, so it means that we need to do it. You know, everyone recognized the power of heredity by which so much beyond human control is transmitted to the child. But we are talking this morning about another factor, the influence of environment and the parents' responses to it. It is an area over which the parents have sufficient control as to ensure that the unborn infant can have the best possible start in life. It is an incredible responsibility which confronts the parents when it is realized that the habits and attitudes of the elders are being reproduced in the child. You know, I told this before, and I remember it so vividly. When my child would do something, I would get so upset, and I would whip him till my mother one day said, "Are you trying to whip you out of him?" And when I stood and I realized it, what I saw in him was me, which the part of me I don't like. There are some truths that God has given us and convincing language in inspired writings. I praise God for the spirit of prophecy, and anybody can say whatever they want to say, but it has been a lamp and a light in my life, and because we weren't reading the Bible, I thank God for his pity and mercy on us that he will give us the pen of inspiration. I'm reading from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 561. The child will be affected for good or for evil by the habits of the mother. Mothers, you determine the character of your child. Sad to say, father only has one shot at it. After that, that child is connected to you, and whatever you do is going to be transferred to that child. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 421. Society is composed of families, and heads of families are responsible for the molding of society. Do you know? And I'm going to bring it because I'm reading about David's life. And this morning I read in my worship in Christ Triumphant in the morning watch that David's experiences were like ours. But he became an overcomer. And if David can become an overcomer, why can't we? He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But when the Lord went to him through his servant and told him about his sins, it says, and I read this the other day, and for those who are reading the morning watch, it says, David's remorse was as great as was his guilt. How many of us, when we do things, we are sorrowful, our repentance is true? Selected Messages, Book 2, page 426. What an enormous weight of responsibility rests upon parents. When we consider the course pursued by them before the birth of their children has very much to do with the development of their character after their birth. I was recently with a couple another time, and their two-year-old was throwing himself down on the floor and was throwing things. And the mother said, where did he get that from? I said, does he watch TV? No. He got it from somewhere. For a two-year-old, just when he didn't get his way, to throw himself down and to throw things. And what was very interesting, when the little boy came around me, you know, I just kindly said, don't throw that. And he looked at me. I said it firmly. But he knew that I was serious. But his mother, she told him 5 times, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And he did it. Now, what makes children disobey their parents, but a stranger, they will obey? The father, I'm reading from Second Select Messages, page 428. The father should bear in mind that the treatment of his wife before the birth of his offspring will materially affect the disposition of the mother during that period and will have very much to do with the character developed by the child after his birth. So fathers play a part, not so much in the child directly, but indirectly by not being kind and nice to the mother while the baby is in utero. I've seen some men being, and I'm not talking in the world, I'm talking in the church, who are not nice to their women. And when I read about the marriage relation in Christ in the church, Christ has only been kind and compassionate towards us, stiff-necked, rebellious people. Second Selected Messages, page 431. The offspring before its birth has transmitted to it disease and an unhealthy appetite. And the irritability, nervousness, and despondency manifested by the mother will mark the character of her child. The disease that this child has gotten is sin. Sin has been transmitted to our children. But with a new birth with the parents, the child can receive that new birth because Christ was born in a sinful world and he was born of a sinful woman. The Ministry of Healing, page 380. Too much importance cannot be placed on the early training of children. The lessons learned, the habits formed during the years of infancy and childhood have more to do with the formation of the character and the direction of the life than have all the instruction and training of after years. Ministry of Healing, page 380. As I saw that two-year-old, it says a child's character is formed by 3 years old. So I was looking and I was encouraging the mother, you still have some time. You still have time. But when we don't do things that God asks us to do, it makes it even harder. Instead of doing prevention, now we have to do cure. And cure all the time is, most of the time, is hard work. It says, understanding as he did the magnitude of the work God was calling Samson to perform, the Lord made sure that he was given the best possible start in life. Therefore, the Lord gave his prospective parents comprehensive instructions that would initiate Samson's training before he was even born. Isn't that mercy, brothers and sisters? We have been given instructions, just like a manual in a car before we buy it. When we buy it, we don't have to be blind to how to operate it. Be it a tractor, there is a manual. Because if you don't read the instructions or know how to operate it, it could be life or death. The Almighty God knew that Samson could never achieve the necessary qualifications for his mission unless a beginning was made early in his prenatal period of existence. God, I'm reading from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 561. God had an important work for the promised child of Manoah to do, and it was to secure for him the qualifications necessary for his work, that the habits of both the mother and the child were to be carefully regulated. Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, was the angel's instruction for the wife of Manoah, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And do you know what the world says? Oh, she's pregnant. Give her anything she wants. She is entitled because she's carrying a child. Unwise advisors will urge upon the mother the necessity of gratifying every wish and impulse, but such teaching is false and mischievous. The mother is by the command of God himself placed under the most solemn obligation to exercise self-control. Again, that's Patriarchs and Prophets, page 561. Tremendous and far-reaching is the power of prenatal influence. It definitely shapes the character of the child for good or, more often, for evil. To demonstrate both the power and permanence of this force, you know, it brings me back to a lot of the experiences of those I come in contact with. And in closing, brothers and sisters, this morning from this morning's devotion, David's experiences were like ours. It says, we must bring our religion to the Bible standard. If we don't get a thus saith the Lord by the law and testimony, there's no truth in it. We must not place ourselves where we claim wisdom to welcome or reject God's word at pleasure. Never let the world think that the Christian and the world are the same in mind and judgment. And when I look at the maternal gospel, God has a way for his children to come into this world. He has a way that it should be done. And we sometimes let the world think it's a one-size-fits-all. No. It says there is a line drawn between the eternal God and the church on one side and the world on the other. There is no unity between the two. Home birth, hospital birth, that is different. That is a distinction. And I'm reading, one chooses the way of the Lord, the other the ways of Satan. There will always be found a necessity to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Brothers and sisters, from the beginning, God gave his way because he is the author, the originator of pregnancy and childbirth. Who are we to tell him he does not know what he's talking about? We're praying. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this time we've had to spend at your feet, Lord, to learn where I failed because I sought others. Lord, where I failed because I chose not your word, but the enemy's. Please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive all of us. Thank you for your mercy where you are just and loving and forgiving, Lord. Thank you for teaching us, giving us every opportunity to repent and not even go the way that our fathers went. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, and we will truly be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory which is due you. In Jesus' name. Because Satan claims every human being, Lord, but by faith today we are saying you cannot have me, you cannot have our children. And this is done by Christ pleading his shed blood on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus, for being our high priest. Your blood, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. These things we ask in his precious name. Amen.
Amen and amen, Sister Pat. Very nice portrayal of building up a children in the way of the Lord. It is so important. Yes, it's too late for us.
Never too late. <has it.
laughs> Too late for us, but I think we can help others to Amen. Do what the Lord has really planned for us to do. I'm a labor and delivery nurse too, what you are practically doing is totally different from what we did in the hospital.
Amen.
But anyway, I have a question. What do you do to stop the bleeding? Do you have medications with you when you do delivery?
I'll share. God, for man's counterfeit, God has an original. I do use Shepherd's Purse, which is good for hemorrhaging, but I have never, out of my 13 years, been doing it, had a woman to hemorrhage. Never.
Yeah. No good.
Never. God hasn't, and I've never had to transport anybody. So God is good. In His way, He is in charge, and I put everything on Him.
Okay. Do you make sure they have good medical, medical checkup or any...
No, most of my women don't go to the doctor, and most of my women are nurses. I can count on my hand how many medical people go God's way and don't even get checkups.
Well, I kind of like that before. I was working in the hospital, but I'm not taking a checkup. I'm not having checkup. And you know, my coworker said, "Well, you have to do that." They gave me time to go to the obstetrician. But I didn't want the checkup. I think I don't want to be in the hospital actually. But anyway, good experiences you have delivering children. I was wondering one of these days when in the Philippines, when we're there, if we need it in emergency, we can do it by God's help, to deliver.
You know, because when we won't be able to buy or sell, I always ask people, if you don't have the mark and women going to be having babies till Jesus come, where are you going to go?
Right. You have good experiences and very encouraging, I tell. It is now time for our question and answer. If anybody has question, please star 6 your line. Anybody has questions? Okay, if you have no question, do you have any prayer requests? Okay, my prayer request is we are doing registration on our school in the Philippines right now. The school we have dedicated for God's glory. Let's pray for those who are taking care of the place to have God's wisdom and to be guided by the Holy Spirit in everything they do. That school will have a Christian environment to draw children, these young people, to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Ione, do you have any question? Anybody? I don't see anybody. So, Sister Pat, you can give us our closing prayer, or if you have a closing remark.
I do. We will be holding a class coming up, the maternal gospel, from parenting all the way to childbirth and pregnancy, childbirth, and is for the baby boomers, is for the Generation X, is for even those before baby boomers, is for all, because we have to spread this gospel. It will be held July, I think it's 11th to August 12th in Tennessee, and for those who are interested, you can contact me, 731-584-7004, because I'm the demand. I have eight more births this year already, and not only in the church but out of the church, they are hearing about God's way, and there are new to agers out here who are doing it, having twins and everything at home, and too many of us are going to the doctor having C-sections. But anyway, I just want to share, if you're interested in knowing more about God's maternal gospel and the class that is coming up, then you can give me a call, 731-584-7004.
I see Sister Ayoni. Sister Ayoni, go ahead, please. Sister Ayoni, do you have any questions? Or
are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I was just thinking when Sister Vicky mentioning the parents, as it were, and beating out the attitudes of the parents out of the child, because I remember with my parents some of the things that I hate when I was a child growing up. Those are the things that I notice I'm practicing today. And, you know, sometimes we look at things, you know, and to say, okay, you know, we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. But it come back to it, the chips never fall from the block, as it were in some statement. And again, too, when it comes to the behavior, that is the reason why it's so important for how we eat and when we eat, you know, because that control our whole temperament, as it were, and is, as the Spirit of Prophecy said, it determine our eternal destiny, you know, the way in which we eat, and sometimes we take it so simple, you know, and don't watch what we eat and when we eat. So thank you for your talk this morning.
And this is Sister Pat Sheffield, and I just, again, thank God, even in my older age, and thrills, I'm 62, how God has given me another opportunity to be a part of His army, to get this message out. And yeah, I'm not in the childbearing. I wish I could have another baby so that I could show that God's way works. And things are possible because Sarah had a baby at 99 and Elizabeth has passed. So anything's possible with God. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Sister Joseph, so it's never late. Sarah was 99, so as long as there's life, there's hope.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Ayoni, for that comment. Okay, shall we pray now, Sister Pat?
Sure. We're praying. For those who can, you can kneel with me, because we're coming before a holy God, a God who is mighty, who's sovereign. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Once again, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for being God. There is none other like unto you. You never sleep nor slumber. You go to and fro on this earth looking for those who represent you, God, and I just pray that we all who are listening, we have given our hearts to you, and those that are holding back, that we will submit ourselves to you each and every day, Lord. Forgive us for where we have gone to other gods. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches, that leads, that guides, that is working in concert with you and Jesus, who takes our prayers and our moanings and groanings and put them in heaven's language. And I thank you for Jesus, our elder brother, our King of Kings, who will come and take us home, and our high priest who is pleading his shed blood. Lord, we want to be wholly thine, but we don't know how. Lord, we have come short of your glory, but still you want us to spend eternity with you as you mold and make us, as we become harmoniously physically, mentally, and spiritually, like your character, Lord. And I'm asking, God, that you would give us your qualifications that are needed to
to show your impeccable characteristics, Lord. We need more faith. We believe, but help our unbelief. We need to be consecrated, Lord. We need to be faithful, where when we say we're going to do something, we will do it. God, we also need to be kind and courteous and pitiful for those we come in contact. And again, I just thank you, God, for using me as undone as I am. And Lord, I don't deserve anything but death. But thank you for not giving up on me, being the author and finisher of all of our lives, and that showing us we can be more than conquerors. Now be with us this preparation day. May it be holy to you as we prepare, and when we enter into the blessed Sabbath, we will have brought no defiled thing into the Sabbath, that everything has been made right between us and you and us and one another. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
Amen and amen. Okay. Thank you, Sister Pat, for this beautiful advice about how to be a child according to God's will, so we can train them in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord and be ready for to present him when he comes in the clouds of heaven. Here are the beautiful clocks you have given us. Okay, we God bless you, and we look forward to hearing from you again in 2 weeks. God bless you and your family. As we continue, we're going to encourage everyone to study the scripture and the spirit of prophecy, that we may know the truth and avoid deception. This reference number of this presentation is 858, and the presentation is available by dialing 712-451-1068 and enter the access code 373047#. Our memory verse for today is found in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our speaker for tonight is Brother Odie Calvert. So we look forward to seeing you again tonight. It's Friday, preparation day for us. So we will be able to listen and prepare for the Sabbath day tonight. Our announcement, the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry Camp meeting is on August 16 to 18, 2019, Friday to Sunday, and it will be at a country setting. The venue will be at Chihuahua SDA Church in Chihuahua, Washington. Details will be announced later. Through the years, we have always moved in faith, and the Lord has never failed us. This time, we're again appealing for volunteers for your prayer and financial help. You may check our website, cfwplm.org, and click donate, or write a check to Central Filipino SDA Church and write on the memo, prayer camp meeting. Your donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much in advance. This presentation is available at cfwplm.org and the edited replay is broadcasted at swmradio.com 4 times every day. 60 countries can now join the call for free. Please share our website to get their country's free local telephone numbers from our homepage. For suggestions, comments, testimonies, and prayer requests, email us at socaconnprayerlinealert@gmail.com. please stay faithful and keep watching, keep praying and working with us. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is the Southern California Connection Prayer Line Ministry committed to preparing God's people for the soon second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all, and we'll see you back at 7 p.m. tonight. Have a good day.